I'm not a legal person, but I'll certainly give you my impression of what I understand genetically modified organisms to mean. To me, it's when the genetic material from one organism is inserted and incorporated into the genetic material of a different species. For example, the DNA from a pig, genetic material has been transferred into the genetic material of a corn crop, for example, to prevent some sort of, or to prevent some form of natural pestilent that occurs in that crop.
What if GMOs had medical benefits? Would that be a reason to choose a GMO over, say, a non-GMO?
That's a little bit of a complicated question. You might think I'd immediately say yes, but it depends on why we're benefiting the individual. Remember that we've got in healthcare two different streams. We've got streams where there are health problems. We've got a normal body that's not functioning correctly. We also have a stream where we have a normal body that is functioning correctly, but we don't like what it does. We don't like that our breasts are too small, or we don't like that our children are too short, or that they have this color hair or that color eyes. And assuming the technology is available, we might want to enhance our children, benefit them, but benefit them beyond the norm, beyond species typical functioning. If that's the case, I don't think our healthcare system should be paying for that. I don't think I should be paying if you want your offspring to be 2 inches taller. I don't think I should be paying if you want your offspring to have blue eyes instead of brown eyes. But if your children have cystic fibrosis, then I think your children, because they're suffering, their quality of life is poor, their length of life is poor, they're not at species typical functioning. They have a medical problem. Then I think that we have a moral obligation to help them if we can. And fortunately, there's genetic technology available to help cystic fibrosis patients alleviate some of the symptoms of CF and make the quality of life better, if not the length of life longer. So again, I think we would have a moral obligation to participate in and fund that type of research for medical issues, but not necessarily for enhancement issues.
What if a genetically modified organism had a lower ecological impact than a non-GMO product?
That's a good thing. But I know from my experience of judging ecological impact that that's fairly involved, and it's never really easy to have the whole picture. So I always kind of withhold judgment when people tell me something about the ecological impact of something. I'm thinking, I don't know if that's the whole picture yet. I know how difficult it is.
So you think it's complex and often misrepresented?
I do.
I don't try and profess to know. As a consumer myself, I'm satisfied with the level of declaration that goes on labels. You know, everything that we consume is a chemical. Whether we call it milk or bread or, you know, chicken nuggets, it's all a mixture of chemicals. So how far down the line do you go to describe the components of what you're eating? You have to use simple names. You have to use simple nomenclature so people can at least address it in a standardized method, and the government, I think, has done a good job of that. The issue, I think, that's coming up is to what extent do you declare the other elements that are on there? For example, do you need to declare where it came from, which country it came from, right? Where was it processed? Where was it made? Because of those issues now that are starting to infiltrate the minds of consumers, and they have every right to be concerned. Does it come from China, Chile, Mexico, Canada? Where does it come from? Even as a consumer, I'm concerned about that. And at least want to know so I can make a decision. But how far down the line do you go before it becomes so onerous and so overwhelming that it actually detracts from the actual rationale of what the food is trying to do for you?
As dairy farmers, they themselves are always trying to be a step ahead of I don't even know if innovation is the right word. I don't think necessarily innovation is the right word, but I think it's like self-monitoring. You know, we have Canadian quality CQM, Canadian quality milk program, which the government asks us to do X amount of testing, and we go above and beyond that. I don't think the consumer knows that, because obviously we're not doing an as effective job as we could as an industry to promote that. You know, not only do we monitor, but we go above and beyond the measures that the government is imposing on us to ensure that our product is even healthier.
If you could name a single barrier, do you think it would be transparency or...
Transparency, maybe just education.
Education.
And I don't know if that runs along the lines of transparency, but education to me is really important.
So many years our friends at Dairy Farmers of Canada have been advertising the nutritional benefits of the product. Have people been sold on just the nutrition benefits? What have been what has been proving the sales is the emotional connection. Tell me in a compelling way. Don't tell me that it's got 10 nutrients and 10 minerals and 20 this and 30 that and vitamins and things like that. Those are all nice to knows because they will help you in the end. But tell it to me in a way that's going to move me. Make me smile, make me happy, make me sad. Give me an emotion. Connect me with an emotional, you know, tell me a story. Tell it to me in a way that makes me fall in love with you, you know? Like, I want to have a relationship with you. That's what's going to sell a consumer, right? So you might have a product that is, you know, healthy and solves a million problems to society, but you only tell them the facts. That's great. I'm not going to, like, I'm going to tune you out. Tell me what, but tell me why, right?